Anybody have anything to talk about?
Cause and effect.
That's it.
Thanks, Pete, for sharing that.
Good night. Anybody else? Take it, bigger.
That's the Bible study.
You know, this is the first time I've thought about this, but if you believe, if your belief causes you to be under cause and effect, then you're... Why is this not making sense now?
It makes sense.
No, if you believe that... If you believe in cause and effect, then you're subject to cause and effect. Just like when, again, the only example I know is when you're a little kid and you believe if you go out in the deep water, you'll drown, you'll drown. If you're an old kid and you believe you'll go out in the water, deep water, and you'll drown, you'll drown.
So when you say to somebody that you're not subject to cause and effect anymore, and that person still believes that they're under cause and effect, then they're under cause and effect.
So what serveth the law, serveth till a seed should appear. But that hasn't penetrated most of your beings because you think cause and effect is just another kind of a law. I mean, coming out of cause and effect is another law.
Coming out of it's a law?
Yeah, you think you have to do something to come out of it.
Seems like it just happens.
Well, you have to stop believing in it, but you can't do that.
You can't do what?
Stop believing in something. All you can do is realize you believe in it and speak it.
And you'll still realize you believe it and speak it, and you'll die in cause and effect.
Yeah, Pete.
No, that's the whole function of preaching in a body. When Paul talked about follow his example of faith, he wasn't talking about follow his lifestyle. He was following his example of coming out of cause and effect. I mean, if you can't... the world has no understanding of this. You cannot believe in grace until you see it operating. And what you hear is what you'll see. And if you don't see, then you won't do. Am I communicating at all?
Yeah. You got to see it.
Yeah.
You gotta be saved before you.
You can be. Yeah. You're saved before you believe. That's always the case. There's no such thing as blind faith. If you know, that's why people talk about, well, they believe in God. Well, that's just bullshit. They don't believe in God. They believe in a philosophy. It's what Daryl asked me today. Well, if Seth knew all this stuff about the stars and about the pyramid and all that, Seth and Enoch, how come that they weren't the father of faith? Well, they knew it intellectually, but they didn't experience it. Abraham was the first one to experience it.
It's sort of like when Christ said, I tell you these things so that when they happen, you'll know that they're of me.
Right.
It's sort of like, you tell us there's no cause and effect so that when we see through it, we'll know there's no cause and effect.
Right. Yeah. But, I've told you so often that if you wait on God, quote unquote, with the mind of a Gentile, you'll die waiting on God. The battle is always here. The battle is your belief system. It's casting down the things that you believe so you can see grace. Your mind controls your everything. Now, the function of what we study and the function of the feast is so that you can see through it. I mean, I can tell you from now until hell freezes over that your mind is the Antichrist. And you say, oh, that's interesting. And you continue to live your life the same way. Until periodically there's something experiential that takes place in your life that proves it to you. That it's no longer just a mental assent. When that happens, then then more ground is taken over by grace, and less then there's less there for law. But I mean, that's why I don't go through this thing about things like tithing, right? tithing is, okay, we talk about tithing, and then you hear tithing is a law. So you should tithe. Well, tithing isn't a law. Tithing is an evidence of belief. If you don't believe, don't tithe. But, you know, I've been real gentle on the other group for 10 years. I've only told them a little bit about tithing. I've only told them about the second tithe. I've never told them about the first tithe.
And all the other tithes.
You know what the first tithe is? Anybody have an inkling?
I think we shouldn't talk about this in the first group.
Let's go to Malachi in a minute. We'll study Leviticus in a minute. It's the last book before the New Testament. Chapter 3. Chapter 3 is sort of a Yom Kippur kind of chapter, so. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be swift against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, and the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear me not, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinance, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove or test me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, nobody says this verbally. You have said it is vain to serve God. The reason you've said it's vain to serve God, and the way God sees it, is when you desire your life to be different than it is, in effect, you're saying it is vain to serve God. Do you understand?
Oh, because you're saying it wasn't right in the first place?
Well, it's fruitless to serve God because you desire more than He's given you.
Oh, I see.
And what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. And how do we call the proud happy? When we envy someone else. Or someone else's condition. Yea, that they that work wickedness are set up, yea, that tempt God are even delivered. Now, I want you to notice it says in verse 10, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Notice the tithes there is plural. Now notice also it said you've robbed him in tithes and offerings. Now, part of the reason that I haven't taught about this is that I'm afraid to. When a believer, when someone converted to Judaism, at the time of Christ, the first tithe was 10% of everything that he owned. Now, the reason it was 10%, the New Testament required, for the first church, required that they gave everything, if you read the book of Acts. Mm-hmm. They sold their houses and laid the money at the feet. Well, that was to show that that's the way it was all the time. Now in us, there is not one thing that you own. It's impossible for you to own anything. Well, what's the evidence that you don't own it? The evidence is that when you enter into that life, the first tithe is 10% of all your assets. Whether that's houses or cars or money or fields or stocks or bonds or anything that you own or clothes. 10% of everything you own is tithed. That's the first tithe. If your grandfather dies and gives you $1 million, well, first of all, $1 million isn't yours, but to show you that you are in a position where you've cut the ties, the psychic ties with the world, and God has set it up so that the tithe is 10% of everything that you own, that you apparently own. That's the first tithe. The second tithe, then, is 10% of all of your increase before you feed your baby. From that moment forward, that's the second tithe.
What do you mean, increase?
Whatever is added to you by any means, it's 10% before taxes, before babies are fed, before bills are paid, before anything else. Then there is also the offering, and it's a trespass offering, which that's the offering is what supported the temple. Now, where do you pay the tithes?
By the way, that's why the temple is so big and beautiful and had all the gold in it.
Where do you pay the tithes?
Where you get fed at.
That's right. You pay them at the storehouse, the place of the spiritual meat. Now, again, I've told you often that all of the tithes go to the priest or the pastor. That's his, to do with as he would. Now, that hasn't been, that's not what's been going on. For 10 years, all of the tithes went to the group. And so in real principle, I have supported, by God's law, I have supported all of the things that have taken place within the concept of this body of people. If someone couldn't pay their rent, I paid it. If someone couldn't buy groceries, I bought them groceries. If someone couldn't make their car payment, I made their car payment. If someone was out of a job, I supported them. That's what it means. Now, there's a whole group of people that have never understood tithing. And because you have not understood tithing, because you have not been in that arena, tithing is the critical manifestation that you are no longer under law, but under grace, in a very complex manner. Because it shows you that you have cut the ties with cause and effect. Now, in that concept, God loves a cheerful giver. The one that doesn't second guess that position. But there's a lot of people that are in the sound of my voice who, if they tithed, they would have a blessing poured out upon them that they couldn't contain. See, this is why it's more difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom than it is for a camel to pass through the eyes of a needle.
Somebody who desires to be rich.
Well, it doesn't matter. You can desire to be rich. It's not, you don't. You didn't decide to desire to be rich. It doesn't matter. Once this process starts, then God, if your cup is simple, you drink it with grace. If it's difficult, you drink it with patience. It doesn't matter if you become a billionaire. I mean, God doesn't require poverty as a sign of spirituality.
Well, that's not what I meant. What I was talking about, if you're worried about having to give a tithe, and then you're desiring to be rich, then...
Oh, I see what you're saying. So, yeah. But do you understand what I'm talking about? I mean, you own nothing. Now, I must confess that a part of me is very tired of supporting 30 people. You know, that's why many years ago when we first started, my temptation was, because everybody was broke, we didn't have anybody with any money, and so it's easier for paupers, because, huh? But my temptation then was, well, it's for me, you know, I never had a great deal of problem making money. And so is to go out and do something to generate income so that the body would have enough money. But, man, it was like I heard God. I mean, it was like, that's how you would really rob me. Well, everybody understand a little bit? Tithing the 10% of your increase is easy. But unfortunately, because of my own hatred of my own bias with regard to all these idiot preachers that all I do is ask for money, I never talked about tithing hardly for years. So I have no one to blame but me.
There's other offerings too, right? The gift offering.
Well, yeah, but those are connected with specific functions. They're not the offering. The only offering that's connected with silver or gold is the trespass offering.
Yeah, but
the other offerings are all, you know, we'll get to those.
But since trespasses are constant and inescapable,
that's how the body or the temple or whatever is supported through the trespass offering. Okay, let's go back to Leviticus.
It reminds me of where it says, the more sin there is, the more grace there is.
Yeah, that's the much more. That's what the trespass offering is about. That's the much more chapter of Romans 5.